Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's in the Charlie Kirk Show. Tyler Boyer joins us as we talk about the disappointing election results and the RNC. Rich Barris also. What are the big takeaways? Was abortion really the big loser? We talk about it with Rich Barris. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Tyler Boyer is with us, who runs Turning Point Action. Tyler, you got the Suns jersey and the MAGA hat.
Yep, this is my hope outfit.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's kind of two different things that are going to crescendo in 2024.
Two of the biggest alpha males that exist are Devin Booker and Donald Trump.
Devin Booker an alpha male?
I
like Devin. I casually.
He's pretty alpha.
Doesn't he date Kendall Jenner?
No, they broke up.
See, I'm really behind on all this stuff.
Yeah, he's a single man.
Is Chris Paul still playing?
Yeah, for the Warriors now.
No, he got traded?
Yeah, he got traded.
See,
we got Bradley Beal on our team now that replaced Chris Paul, and he's been hurt, so Bradley Beal might be coming back tonight.
Chris Paul's had one of the longest NBA careers. It's amazing. All right, so Tyler, people are mad. People are upset. They're demoralized.
Yeah, I think we've seen on Twitter. I was just telling you before the
what's going on Twitter. I don't have
it's a war zone.
TwitterX.com
and rightfully so because it's we've got everybody is like astonished still. This is like now we're four elections deep since the people started paying attention, and now they're like astonished at how do we not have this stuff figured out. And the RNC, you know, as a member of the RNC that represents the state of Arizona, everybody that listens to the show knows that we've been the most observant and critical of the things that the Republican atmosphere isn't doing the right way. And that starts with the RNC. You can't say it doesn't start with the RNC. It has to start with the RNC. But it's the NRSC. It's the RGA. It's the NRCC. Everybody here, the major organizations that are supposed to run the party, are the ones that are supposed to make sure that the techniques are in place in order to win. And every election that goes by, people are standing by saying, how come the techniques are not ever getting developed? And it's like waiting for, it's like the sad story of, you know, the puppy at the adoption facility who the adopter never comes. And then you end up in the grinder.
I mean, this is what infuriates me the most. I mean, Rana's a loser, and we've said that. We tried to remove her, right? We tried our best to put Harmeet in.
Well, let's get more specific. We tried our best to persuade and make very clear, and also warn
168, right?
The members of the 168, which are there's three members from every state and territory that represent you at the Republican National Committee. That's who elects leadership at the RNC.
Yep.
And you can make the argument three good people got elected. The one person that everybody was vocally opposed to was Rana getting reelected.
Correct. The grassroots were 98%, 99% against her.
And so guys like me showed up saying, like, look, it doesn't matter. Personal, you know, agendas, personal relationships aside, everyone outside these doors is saying that you shouldn't be the chair. And you got to listen to that. And part of the reason you got to listen to that is because the base is who wins elections. The base is who what make up the people who recruit people to run for office.
Small dollar donations.
Small dollar donations. Your the workers that go out and knock doors, that build what we call golden tickets here in Arizona, that tell people who to vote for, that show up, that manage the polls.
Yeah,
that,
they didn't want Rana.
None of them did. And yeah. So it's like, how what is the pathway? And this was the question that I had for her, which was I talked to her on the phone a couple of times during that time period. And I said, Rana, like, what's your pathway forward for like winning if you don't have any of those people on your team? This doesn't make sense. And so you have that situation. That's part of the problem. Part of the reason why we're not winning is that you have to have leaders who are like George Washingtonian leaders who are going to be able to ride the white horse, lead you into battle, take the first arrows. And nobody views Mitch McConnell that way. Nobody viewed Kevin McCarthy that way. That's why there was such, you know, vitriol. Nobody, but most importantly, nobody views Rana that way. They view Trump that way. That's why Trump is winning by 50 points in primary polls. And so it's like, how do we get an alpha leader, like we have an alpha leader running for president that everyone supports, to run these things? Why are we okay with just this, subpar leadership?
Yeah, and so, but then to add insult to injury, the RNC right now is doing what, Tyler? Where is the RNC physically, and what are they doing today?
So the RNC is kind of mad at me because I commented in a couple of different journalists that called and said, "Hey, what are your thoughts about these debates going on?" And I said, "Well, I think they're kind of pointless if you don't have Donald Trump at them, because Donald Trump is winning by 50 points right now. So what's the point in still doing them?" And that's been, they've taken a few polls. And you, the public, have said, we don't think that you should do any more debates. Like, these are pointless. No one's watching them. Oh, by the way, NBC is hosting the one tonight.
Correct. Lester Holt and Kristen Welker.
And it's like, wait, so you're going to let libs? Wait, I thought the whole, I don't know if we have time to rehash this, but the RNC pulled out of the debate committee that
Correct.
Was this liberal control.
And then they go back into
C3.
It.
And so everyone was excited because they were like, oh, cool, we'll have more conservative debates. And what happens? We're back at the table with NBC. And so it's like, this is the reason why would anyone trust that organization that just basically goes right back to the trough and reintroduces the same bad things that everyone hates.
And they truly don't care about pushback.
And so tonight they're hanging out with NBC, you know, cocktail hour, everything, hanging out. Like, this was like another member of the RNC called me, that she was astonished. She's like, yesterday was election day, we're getting our butts handed to us in states that we, by the way, this isn't just Kentucky that you can make the argument that is like, oh, okay, whatever, a moderate Democrat being governor in Kentucky, who cares? Well, it does matter a lot, because Matt Bevin still would be governor had it not been for, if the party had its, you know, priorities in the right place. But Let's aside from that, Pennsylvania yesterday had a Supreme Court race that would determine the future of Pennsylvania for the next decade, 12 years plus.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at a situation now where it's like, we just lost the Supreme Court in Wisconsin because of inactivity.
Correct.
We just lost the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania yesterday because of inactivity, which is a key target state that we need to win. And you look at this and you have to say, there are fire alarms that need to be pulled. And this is why we started doing this. Really, a year ago, after the last election, said we have major problems that we saw here in Arizona. We have major problems that we saw in Nevada, major problems that we saw in other states. This is not the pathway forward.
The RNC raises $600 to $700 million in election cycle ish.
It should,
but they're way behind pace right now, right? They're not raising money.
From what I understand, and again, you know, my goal isn't to, you know, it's hard to raise money right now. You know that, we know that. But like, this was part of the warning, was if you kick the small dollar donors to the curb, how are you going to raise money? Because look, this is how the Democrats do it. The Democrats, you know, effectively raise all of their dollars for their party through small dollar donations. This is where Act Blue comes from. Yeah. This is why they instituted all that, right? Our side institute Win Red, which is a totally different model, for-profit model. It's, you know, we can get into all that. But they're raising significantly less dollars to small dollar because of the distrust that exists with the ecosystem right now. So, well, this is part of the warning. And now we're looking at this, and the RNC is way, way underfunded for this next election.
But people don't trust them. They're, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about how little money that the RNC has. So a lot of people are, what they're allowing is for the state parties to suffer. So they're going, oh, Arizona, you've seen the headlines in the Arizona Republic. Mm-hmm. The AZGOP has no money. Well, it's not just the AZGOP. It's all of these state parties have no money, except for Florida and Ohio that have had 40 years of fundraising prowess.
Yeah, this we got to keep talking about this. It's a huge problem. But rest assured, everybody, we got clobbered yesterday. But the RNC, they got NBC News tonight. How does that make you feel? NBC, Lester Holt, Kristen Welker. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. Tyler, what are we doing at Turning Point Action? Let's fill our audience in. We've committed to doing something. We want to do even more than something. Tell our audience right now, we're doing something unprecedented.
So there is good news from this week. And you don't see this stuff that's happening necessarily, but we've partnered with a number of different organizations that Turning Point Action works with. So first off, Turning Point Action is the largest field staff in the conservative.
It's not even close. By the way, just so we're clear, how many full-time staff does RNC have in Arizona?
They just barely hired their first person.
Really poor soul. How about Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin, they have like basically no one on the ground. That's not helping with the convention.
How many, just Turning Point Action, we have 45, 50 full-time staff here at Turning Point Action?
So we have the largest field staff in all of the key target states that you might call them swing states. We have about 55 full-time people right now.
And that's going to grow significantly.
Well, that's just our legacy, supporting the volunteers, supporting the grassroots. So they're at every legislative district meeting, every congressional district meeting, every county meeting.
The payroll of that's $3 to $4 million a year.
Yeah.
The RNC 100% could be doing that.
Yeah. They haven't.
They raised $700 million, but the RNC hates the grassroots. They hate you. Sorry, keep going.
Well, and that's what's been the frustrating part is like, hey, the left has a infrastructure of 100 organizations in most of these key target states that all have 3 to 4 full-time employees at minimum, and then they ratchet it up for ballot chasing. So that's what we're doing, right? We're modeling ourselves after like, it's like a football team. So the best comparison is a sports analogy, which is right now what the Republican National Committee and what I call the Republican National Apparatus is doing is they're sending a high school team, volunteer high school team, up against an NFL team and expecting to win. They have professionals that are sanctioned, they're there being paid really great salaries to be there and be on guard. Our team is basically just like, oh yeah, we'll just throw a team together and hope to win. And that's nice. It worked in the Mighty Ducks, you know, one time, you know, but it's not going to work year in and year out. And that's part of the reason why we're losing is we need full-time people. Yep. So the only way that you can do that is if you've built an actual team on the ground in these states that you need to win. So in Arizona and Wisconsin, we've put full-time staff. We'll have upwards of 20 full-time staff just helping and assisting and coordinating volunteers. And they're going to be aiding us and building our full-time army where we're going to have hundreds of full-time people paid to go chase ballots. And that's not just in the last month before elections. We're talking like those people are starting now, and they're going to be going heavy right around Christmas time and following the new year, building relationships in these key communities with the people who don't typically vote.
Low propensity.
Low propensity. That's a term that if you're not familiar with it, what that means is people who do not frequently vote.
Yeah, so think about a construction worker that maybe voted for Trump in 20 and he didn't vote in 16. And he's 38. He kind of ticked off at the world, right? Muscular class guy. We need to find him and get him to vote.
Make sure he votes. Yeah, because that may be the only election. And there's a lot of people who the only election they ever voted in was 16.
Yes.
The only election they ever voted in was 20.
And we need to find those people.
Or they didn't vote in those at all.
And this is Trump's superpower. Is he brings out these low prop voters and they're willing to engage.
He's done a better job of bringing out low propensity voters than any candidate ever in the history of America.
Yes, that's correct.
And this is what's so crazy is that the Democrats go, oh, okay. By necessity, they've said, okay, we have to build this full-time army to keep up with Trump, basically. And win. And this is, it's very simple math, guys. You don't have to win the whole country. This is what Democrats have figured out.
Yep.
You just have to win. We've isolated. It's really about 8 to 10 key target counties within Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia. And Maricopa County is the biggest.
Yeah, and we're in the neighborhood that matters, which is right near South Mountain. Yeah. Like this literally used to be a Republican area, Guadalupe, South Mountain.
This is your, you know, you talked about the I-4 corridor in Florida forever, the Scottsdale Tempe corridor.
It's that era, that what do you call it, the tomahawk?
That's it. Yeah, this is the corridor that helps flip elections for the entire country. And so this is where Republicans have to have this understanding and come in and go, okay, what do we have to do to win these places? Well, you have to isolate these key target precincts, and you have to talk to not just high propensity voters, not mid voters, but you have to talk to people who never vote. That's what Democrats are getting out. That's who they're getting out. So what does it take to get those low propensity voters out? Well, it takes white glove treatment.
Yep. And it requires a full-time army there. So just really quick, is it possible to remove Rana?
So a lot of people have asked that question today. I've had probably 1,000 messages in my DMs and emails and everything else. The only way that Rana can be replaced is at an official election that is proposed by the members of the 168. And they're not going to do that before January 2025.
Oh, okay.
They're just not going to.
But she can resign.
She could resign. She could resign. Yeah. Well, she's probably not going to.
Yeah, Trump should call for her resignation. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/charlie. Joining us now is Rich Barris, Big Data Poll. Rich, thanks for taking the time. Rich?
Thanks for having me, Charlie, as always.
What was the good news last night? You have to go through it. What was the best piece of news yesterday?
Well, I mean, Reeves held on in Mississippi, seriously, we have to. I found this out recently that there was a danger, apparently, within the last 2 weeks or so that they worried he could fall within runoff territory, and he didn't do that. Look, the good news, honestly, you want the hard truth. The good news is that I still see the Trump voters, the Trump strength, because I can see them like a astrophysicist can measure dark matter. You measure them by the absence of them not being there, you know, by the lack of presence. So when I look ahead to 2024, the good news is when we're polling the presidential race a year from now and then comparing how he is doing to everybody else. Everyone else is coming in when the votes come rolling in. Everyone else is coming in about where expected, which tells us that his strength on the top of the ticket is real. That's honestly, if you're looking for good news and you're a Republican voter, that's it.
Okay, so now let's proceed. Virginia, what was the big takeaway there? The talking point of the media, which might be true, is abortion killed us. Is that right?
Public opinion isn't the issue with abortion. The issue is that Republican voters aren't motivated, or voters who agree with Republicans are not motivated at the same rates that Democrats are. And you know this, Charlie, I don't have to tell you this. It's also a big part organization. They're way ahead of Republicans. And even though they're looking at a smaller group of people, they're getting those people out, where Republicans just are not. And you look at the race that includes Loudoun County, Segura, right? That probably hurt him there without a doubt. But when all is said and done, he's still, and he's no MAGA bomb thrower. He did not perform in Loudoun County the way that people who make the case for that kind of candidate said that they would perform. Same thing with Hung Cao, kind of in that region as well. They underperformed badly in Virginia as far as the expectations they set for themselves. If you look around the map and have a real reality check with how blue Virginia really is now, I mean, it's not really a swing state anymore. It's a blue state that can be won under the right conditions for a Republican. And if you look around the map, it's not awful, but it's awful compared to the expectations they set and Youngkin set, and the donors who wanted to, you know, put Youngkin into presidential race that he set. But Owen and the Gibson race, the Owen v. Gibson race, I mean, come on, Charlie. Owen should have put Gibson away. And she still won in Rico County by a couple of points. And that's, to me, you know, tells you, again, it's a turnout disparity. And by the way, Republicans with this turnout on election day idea, Democrats turned out on election day. So you cannot always count on this massive disparity that's going to put you over the top on election day. Democrats obviously didn't vote as much, Charlie, as Republicans, but they voted enough. And they did what they had to do.
So if there is general president, let me just, going into next November, let's say that there is massive turnout, like 2020 style turnout, even a little bit less. It's going to be hard to reach 2020. It just is. Let's say that it's 80% or 85% of 2020. Does abortion become less of an issue because there is such high turnout, therefore the enthusiasm gap narrows?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If you're looking at the presidential race, I honestly don't think it hurts Trump as much as it hurts other Republicans. He's distinguished himself differently on this issue. He just 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, was telling other Republicans in the nomination contest, you don't know how to talk about abortion. You're trying to win Iowa and you're making yourself unelectable. And they attacked him for it in an effort to try to win that caucus. So the answer to that really is, it depends who the nominee is. It's most certainly going to be Donald Trump, but in the off chance they figure some way to keep this guy away from being the Republican nominee, most of the Republican candidates effectively have killed themselves already, Charlie. If you're looking and you're a believer in the abortion argument, or at the very least, and I'm not. I just think that what is happening is that Democrats are getting their abortion voters out the way Republicans used to in like 2004, for instance. They had an advantage doing that, and Democrats have that advantage now. But if that argument turns out to be right, and Ron DeSantis, for instance, is the nominee, he's done. He's going to lose every battleground state. I mean, a 6-week abortion ban is going to kill him. He's not even going to carry Iowa in a general election, I'm telling you. I'm just being very real with everybody. It's going to be ugly. I don't care how close the polling looks. It'll be ugly.
So then let's go to Kentucky. What was the big takeaway in Kentucky? It's perplexing to our audience how a state that went 75% for Donald Trump, 75% could reelect a Democrat governor given all the nonsense Democrats are facing right now.
Some of this, you know, this is going to hurt people's feelings, but I don't really care. The reality on the one hand is that Kentucky elected two Republicans in the last 50 years, half century. They have elected Democratic governors for a long time, and Andy Beshear is the most popular red state Democratic governor in the country. Cameron cut into some of that in the last couple of weeks by tying himself to Trump. Those mailers, definitely, we know, we spoke to voters about that. The mailers, you know, helped and hurt his approval rating a little bit and probably tightened the race a little bit. But I think there's a few things going on there. He did not perform well in the eastern ancestral Democratic counties that are like white Southern Democrats, still registered as Democrats who vote Republican at the presidential level. I think that's an issue. But also, there's no way to get around this. He had no help. This is something that really needs to be discussed. Republican donors, for the most part, and you know, you talk to them too, they have been spending money on either one of two things: independent groups that are trying to get out the vote, or some core issues that they personally care about, and then the Republican primary to stop Donald Trump. $100 million to Team DeSantis. Kim Reynolds endorsed him the other day. It is literally Kim Reynolds' job to get Republicans elected governor. And he got outspent 17 million to four. So she did nothing to help him. Same story in 22, where Ducey was the head. He promised Kerry Lake at least 7 mil. He gave her nothing. Tim Michaels, he told to self-fund. Doug Mastriano, him and the Ricketts said, you know what? You're too MAGA for us. You're a nice guy, but you're not our kind of guy. The RGA is useless. And until Republicans start punishing these people who are in charge, like listening to your show earlier about Rona, with the exception of Kevin McCarthy, basically all of the players who blew 22 are still in place, Charlie. So I don't know how anyone else expects a different result. I know that Kentucky is difficult for a Republican, especially with a popular Democratic governor. Even though it's a red state, it is not at the state level. I know that it's a difficult one, but Cameron should have won that race. He should have. He should have had more help. He didn't get any help. Same thing, ditto, by the way, in Pennsylvania. I've gotten blown up, nothing but activists, just furious. No help at all. Bucks County was a total disaster. Republicans were routed up and down the ticket, and there was one donor who came in to try to help them. They have been holding the line against extremism, especially social stuff in our schools, for a very long time. And they did it without any fanfare or anyone, you know, any looking for anyone to pat them on the back for it. They just did it. And now they got blown out. So literally radicals will be running that board moving forward. And all these donors seem to care about is stopping the man who has a majority support beyond majority. In some polls, it's a super majority, Charlie. And more than that, have a positive view of him. They adore him. And literally the rest of the party is relying on him going to jail to beat him. If you don't think that's going to have some kind of voter blowback, you live in another world. Voters aren't stupid. They're not dumb. And they basically said, I think a big takeaway from last night is that voters told the Republican Party they have not earned their vote. It's not worth getting up, going out to go vote for you. You don't do what you say. You don't defend us. We don't trust you. And that's it. Ohio was Biden plus two, Charlie, the electorate. Ohio, I mean, Trump won it twice by almost 10 points. But the exit polls last night showed that the electorate was actually, when you asked who did you vote for, it was Biden plus two. That's how bad turnout was in some of these Trump areas.
And
can't imagine why.
So the RNC is one of the things that they are tasked with is having accurate, actionable data, being a central hub to be able to find out, you know, where our turnout problems and issues are. And, you know, just so we're clear, not a soul from the Republican establishment reached out to Turning Point Action and our hundreds of thousands of activists, Rich, because they hate us. And look, I mean, we're doing our best here. We're trying to hire, you know, hundreds of people. We're raising millions for ballot chasing. I'm going to campuses. Yep. We're doing 3 hours. You know, we only got so much we can do. But, you know, maybe 90 days ago, I would have checked all, I would have put all of my criticism aside of Ronna Mitt Romney. And if she wanted to do a conference call, let's get on the same page, let's do this, let bygones be bygones and bury the hatchet. I would have said, you know what? Good on you. Let's go win. That's what leaders do. But it's silence. It's nothing. So, Rich, this is a speculative question, and you're a very objective guy, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do these people want to win?
poor Scott Pressler out there, right? doing everything he can in Allegheny, doing everything he can in Beaver County, being, you know, running around Pennsylvania, still hasn't gotten a call back. He's literally, you know, there are people out there that are just saying, hey, Scott, you're coming out here to help. You can sleep on my couch. I mean, you know, he's not looking to get rich, but a little support and a little collaboration with one of the turning point is another great example. You guys have bodies. You have people. Why on earth would she want to centralize? This is the I'm not sure winning is her priority. And she came in, if people remember, she came in after Ryan's Priebus. It was in shambles. The RNC was in shambles, but it was broke. And everyone gave her accolades because she was a prolific fundraiser.
No, because she rode the coattails of Trump, an incumbent popular president. Let's be honest. Come on.
Michigan, yes. Right? She came out of Michigan. Yeah. And $1 billion later, a permanent data operation, so-called permanent data operation later, and it's worthless. And she's left to chase the next best thing. And I do have insight into some of the new projects, but they're not even harnessing it, Charlie. They don't know what they're doing.
Their project is NBC debates. I'm telling you,
advertisement.
You tomorrow morning, the base is going to be blitzing mad. Because you're going to have all these clips going viral of Lester Holt and Welker going after our candidates. So tell me, Chris Christie, would you ban birth control? Have you ever used birth control, Chris? I mean, it's like the most weird questions, right? And that's what we have to spend our money on. It's insulting. There really is no plan, Rich. There's some very sophisticated technology out there that the left is using against us. Micro-targeted advertisement, personalized political messaging. There is nothing of the sort that is happening on the right, from GOTV to text messaging to any of that, from using artificial intelligence. The RNC and the Republican establishment, I believe, wants to lose. They're comfortable losing. They want to be controlled opposition. Rich, talk about the exciting new technologies on the horizon. Broadly, you can get specific if you want, that the right refuses to use.
I'm telling you, Charlie, this year is going to revolutionize how campaigning is even done. The AI that you just brought up, they're thinking of it, too, as a way to implement or make texting easier, when the left basically did that beta testing it back in 22. And I know that because we were involved in this. It's been a little over a year now, and the RNC did have an ear into it. They had a seat at the table, but they don't seem to be comprehending the power of this technology. I mean, it essentially, Charlie, is having 1,000 volunteers with one agent who knows how to work the AI. It's the power of 1,000 volunteers. And they just kind of, that'll help us send out text messages and send back a generic reply. Meanwhile, this thing augments with the database, whatever database you're using, L2 or Aristotle, and then profiles people based on their attributes and responses. It engages with them like a human being. It sounds like me. So it went through all of my interviews that I'll do with voters and some of our employees. It sounds just like them. It's incredible. And it's like a mimic. I don't know how else to put it. They don't get that. And Democrats, I didn't know it. You didn't know it at the time. Democrats were beta testing some of that in 22. And now that they're full blown, they're off to the races with it. And the RNC is way behind. So and the problem is, I find it funny, Charlie, that they're so big on centralization, because the left isn't. You know, you've been doing your best as well. You're out there raising money. You're trying to get people to do harvesting operations. And the left is doing it more of a model like you, where it's third party groups. The DNC does not hog all of the donors and then figure out where that money's going and to whom it's going to, what consultants. That's what Rona's doing over there. So even if somebody were to develop something like this, and it's out there now, and somebody else knew how to work it better and knew how to apply it better, you would never know, because the RNC has everything centralized. And if it's not one of their people, it'll never make its way there anyway. Democrats don't do that. Democrats have third-party groups operating independently of each other, but they don't step on each other's toes, and they all are basically working together as like one cog in a very large machine. And it's ironic, because Republicans are the ones who don't believe in centralized government, yet they centralize their political machine, right? And Democrats believe in centralized government, but their machine, or at least their infrastructure to get out the vote, is not centralized at all. So very interesting. And by the way, donors, they're just easier to convince. They'll get their checkbook out for the left, no problem, for this stuff that's not sexy, Charlie, but wins elections. And Republicans are still, let me figure out how to cut this cool ad and try to persuade a voter. They're just way behind, brother. That's the reality.
if we don't have the machinery, how do we win in a year from now?
Well, this is the thing. There still is this guy named Donald Trump out there who turns out voters. Look at Ohio as a great example. Look at Pennsylvania. Carluccio actually won Erie but lost. The reason is she just didn't get the juice out of all those red counties that somebody like Donald Trump, and only Donald Trump, has been able to do in the modern era. And this is why Republicans have to pull their heads out of their you-know-whats, because win or lose, he won't be around forever, right? What are they going to do when he's gone? The blame Trump argument is so intellectually lazy and it's intellectually exhausted. It's like people who make this argument are just exhausted in their mind. They don't have any answers and they don't have any way to, where to go. You know, Trump is a turnout driver. And that's something that obviously he's proven not once, but twice. But you need still organization and you need a plan for when he's gone. Democrats are not going to go down easy, folks. All these polls out there, that's great. But they're not going down easy, Charlie. And people better realize their best shot is with this guy.
Yep.
He'll be gone soon.
Rich Barris, thanks so much. Excellent job. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.